Tantrum House Board Gaming Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRD in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, AEG, We Make Fun, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are here to help you sort through the cardboard commotion to help you find the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Ryan Pills.
And Journeyman Dan.
In the house. We've got games to talk about. We've got a pretty fun topic, I think, that we're going to cover later in the episode. We've got a sponsor. We've got some Kickstarters. We have got the full complement, I guess, is what you would call it, of all the great content we're bringing to you. And as always, we like to start our episodes by talking about some of the games that we've been playing recently. These may be brand new games. These might be old classics. They might be games you've never heard of or your favorites. You tell us. What are the games you guys have actually been playing this past week or two? Anything make it fun? Anything fun make it to the table?
Well, on Thursday, we had a couple over and we played Suro.
Ooh.
So goes in that older category, but just classic. A great one to pull out when you need something simple for 15 minutes or so, and played around to that.
Four player? How many do you have?
Four player, yeah.
Four player. Very nice.
Yeah.
Give us a quick description of what that game is for these people who may not have played
The Game of the Path.
The Game of the Path. So Suro has tiles that you're going to fill up a board slowly, turn after turn, and each tile has a path on it, on like two paths on each side. So you're going to play it. There's always going to be a match. And then your little dragon character has to follow the path as far as it goes. And it's a last man standing, kind of trying to knock your opponents out without killing yourself. Because eventually each path will make its way all the way off the board and you're out. Or if you collide, you're out as well. So when we played, I told everybody, hey, you just need to stay over there and let me do my own thing.
They
just stayed over and kind of did their own thing. And at the last minute, I got roped into things and came in second. But getting destroyed is still getting destroyed.
It is. That is a good one. I enjoy the cleverness you feel when you are the last man standing, pretty much just because you got lucky and had the right tile. But
right, yeah.
You're like, yeah, I don't get to fall off the edge of the board. Perfect. Yeah. Excellent stuff. Ryan, what have you been playing?
Yeah, we had a couple people over this past weekend and busted out some games. We played Farmer's Market, which is a game that looks deceptively simple, but it is actually kind of racks your brain because you've got four objectives in your columns and four objectives in your rows, and you're drawing these tiles that just have combinations of things you might find at a farmer's market. Very simple. It's like corn, milk, cheese, bread. Like, very simple stuff. But, like, some of your goals might be you need exactly six items, or you need six items that are all equal, or six items that are completely different, or you need three milk and two bread, or two bread and one egg, or no egg, no milk, no corn in this row.
Whoa.
And then you're combining that with whatever crazy things you have in your columns, and you're like, for this to work, I need a tile that has two milk and a corn on it. And there are several combinations. There's some that there's like one of three different things on it. Some are two of an item and one of another. There's even some that have three that are all the same item on the tile. So you get this false sense of security like, oh,
it's coming.
I need the two milk, one corn, and that's going to come up eventually. Except that tile does not exist. And I just, all game, I was like, two milk, one corn. I need that tile whenever it shows up. No, that didn't show up. I don't think I won that game. But it was pretty fun.
I think I played that one. That's the one that looks like an app kind of on the front.
Yeah,
right?
a little bit.
Box looks like it could be an app. Is it an app? Is there an app version of it?
Oh, I don't know.
I feel like it should be. It's a game that could be an app version.
Yeah. It's pretty quick. And then we also busted out Attack on Titan. This one is designer Antoine Baza, if I'm slaughtering that name, sorry, who I believe he's behind Seven Wonders.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons we got it. We were also really big into the show for a while. This one is a one versus many. One person plays one of four different types of Titans, and they each Titan has their own deck of tactic cards. And then everybody else is playing as the core members that are part of this, you know, group of survivors that are trying to kill the Titans. And they are trying to climb up the Titan's body or, like, the tower over on the side and fire cannons from the tower and use their knives, their cross swords on his body to deal damage. But the thing is, you can't just deal damage. You get him in this red zone, and then you have to cycle through all these cards till you get a victory card and fulfill its conditions. So the Titan is trying to keep knocking them down so they can't finish him off. And then he's trying to heal. And the way it goes, first thing the Titan does, he's got his like seven, it might be nine cards, but I think it's seven cards. He picks two of them. One of them is shown, the other one's face down. And then everybody rolls dice and they're trying to complete what's on like the objective card, which might let them win or do something powerful. And they're also trying to mitigate the tactic that he just played. So, like, I played one where they have to have two of their dice show dodge symbols or they lose a heart, that sort of thing. So they're trying to get the right combination to both survive and complete an objective. Meanwhile, the other one, they don't know what it is. While they're rolling, they can keep re-rolling and re-rolling as much as they want. But every time they roll a Titan head, it goes to the Titan player, and he can fulfill stuff on his card. Mm. So once they're all done rolling, he purchases one of his abilities. I played the Destructive Titan, who could either regenerate, hurt somebody, or defeat two of the cannons. Then you hand those Titan dice back. They roll them once, and then they can try to fulfill... Oh. Then the cards get activated that the Titan played. Then they can try to fulfill their things. So we played. Very first thing, they get to select where they start. They can either start on the ground or on the tower. They all selected the tower. The Destructive Titan has two cards that affect things on the tower. One causes everybody to lose a heart. One causes everybody to lose a heart and have like citizens be eaten. If they lose all their citizens, if one person loses all their hearts or all the cannons are gone, they die. If they defeat the Titan dies. Mm-hmm. So, like, it can be pretty tense. Like, there's no clear advantage. There's some randomness. But they all started on the tower. So I played both of those cards. They rolled enough Titan heads that I had a Titan ability to cause one damage. They get to decide who it goes to. So they sent it to the one person who couldn't mitigate it because they didn't roll any any of the dice. They couldn't mitigate the cards. They were just like, oh, we'll take the hit from this card, not realizing the other card was hitting them too. So before they got to do anything, I won, just like right off.
This is the part where Ryan tells us, and it was against my 4-year-old daughter and my 2-year-old daughter.
No. These are all adults. And I was like, okay, so we're going to start
Hopefully they don't listen to this podcast.
We're going to start over. Let's have everybody not start on the tower this time. And let's go from there. And then that time, they forgot that they lost if they lost all of their cannons. So they pushed their luck too far and gave me too many Titan heads. And I needed a lot of them to defeat because there's like six cannons. But I only need to do it three times. And I managed to win because they just pushed their luck too much. And I was like, oh, okay.
Crush you guys again. Take
this
that.
Pretty good.
So clearly we know from Ryan, but Will and Sarah, are you guys the
were
type
we
where
there?
If,
no.
No. Are you the type where if you're teaching somebody to play, it's like, hey, let's just have fun. As opposed to, oh, I know how to
defeat
crush you, and I'm going to do it.
And yeah. Crush,
I crushed everybody tonight playing Earth.
Yeah. Sarah's definitely in the same boat. She can care less. She's playing it cutthroat as possible.
Okay. It depends on the situation, I think. Because tonight I knew going into...
When we were not having fun, then it was different.
We played 6-player Earth tonight with a partial expansion abundance. We didn't
Stay
play all
for
of
the Kickstarter
yeah,
portion.
We didn't play all of it, but we played most of it. And... Jonah knows the game well. Will knows the game well.
He thought he did.
I think Jonah had like 50 points, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
Jonah
that's
exactly right. For the record, halfway through.
Nobody said that. We just went with his final
game.
Score.
Yeah. And I don't know what happened, but Ryan almost beat
that.
Me on his first game ever.
He did. He was.
I had a high score, and poor Will.
Ugh, it was not a good game for me. Let's not talk about that.
I think it was 254 to 118.
Not talking about that. That's a good question, though, Dan. I do change my play level, depending on the audience, which is kind of what Sarah was hinting to.
Yeah.
But I do not usually, like, I'm not going to give you the game, even if you, even if it's your first time and you're not good at games.
I did feel a conundrum, but I felt like, okay, so the last turn, I used this ability to destroy cannons, and they rolled four dice that all had Titan heads. I lined them up next to my ability that was going to let me win. And I'm like, I'm not going to say anything,
he's
but
doing
like,
this.
It's very clear that this is what I'm about to do. And then they rolled again, and I won.
I think typically, like, I'm not going to go over the top trying to find the crazy combo that is pretty, like, deep as far as gameplay goes.
Mm-hmm.
But if I make suggestions on, like, hey, here's a good idea, and you choose to do something else, like, okay, at that point, I'm just going to play.
On you that I destroyed you.
Yeah, I tried to help you.
That's true.
That's super funny. I do, I actually usually, if it's a game that I've played a bunch of times, I will try, like, a brand new strategy with new people. Because like, if I lose, it doesn't matter. If it works and it's amazing, great. I'm not going to play my normal safe, you know, safe victory. I might go out on a limb and trust them a little crazy.
I feel like I do that the most with Dominion. Like, I can look and be like, okay, I'm pretty sure I would normally go for these three cards and probably just win.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm playing with someone who's never played before, so I'll just kind of buy whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Try a little crazy.
There is something to be said for it, though. When we were at Gen Con and I got into the special preview of Lorcana, I got wiped twice by the guy
by the demoer.
Like, if you could just, like, coach me just even slightly, it would make me feel a lot better about this game.
Instead of hating
it. Yeah, I do. If I'm teaching a game to all new players, I will try to figure out a very obscure, out-of-the-box strategy that I've never tried before. And sometimes that backfires on me, which is fine because everybody else is, you know, learning the game. So it kind of evens the playing field.
So the fact that you went for, like, your hardcore strategy tonight with Earth was because Will was
I
playing.
Was up against some
Jonah
good
was
players.
Right next to her, so.
Yes.
He's cutthroat for sure. Sarah and I had the opportunity to play a game this past weekend called World Wonders from Arcane Wonders. We had some nice folks invite us over for dinner.
Man, Dan and Danny.
Those are pretty awesome people.
They sound great, don't they? And we get to bust that out. Sarah had played it before and tried to crush us, as she just said. I had not played it. I don't think you had. You played World Wonders?
No, we haven't.
Yeah, it's a game that has a pretty fantastic table presence to it. There's literally painted wooden minis, I guess. I don't know if it's really minis, but complex structures for all of the wonders in the ancient world. And you are trying to build them out onto your board in different ways. And I enjoyed it. It was a little more approachable than I thought it was going to be. I had seen it on the table.
It's simple rules.
It looks crazy. There's so much going on.
Yeah.
But the rule set was actually pretty good. Would you tell us about how many times have you played it, Sarah?
Oh, probably almost a dozen, actually.
Yeah. Give us your thoughts on it since you played it more than my one-time experience.
I enjoy it because it's a true tile-laying game where you have to plan out. And people forget that one of the main scoring mechanisms is if you completely surround a tile, you can score points off of those. I've won the game without making very many world wonders. So
you have different goals.
Yes.
So play the game.
If you play the advanced variant, which I usually do because it's a simpler game, there is one that's get world one. So whoever has the most world wonders will get three extra points. And if you don't play with that, then you don't have to get world wonders to win because sometimes they're only worth a point and it may be more points to do something else. But the goals do matter, and the way that the tiles come out matter. So even advanced players can have a run for their money with players who it may be only the first, second time playing because the rules are simple. It's lay tiles, buy one or two things each round.
And you have a lot of freedom in what you're actually doing. Yeah. Your boards can be very different at the end of the game.
Yeah, and sometimes the wonders end up hindering you if you don't place them strategically. So they have to be next to usually roads or a certain type of tile color. And if you don't play them well and you don't plan to, I'm going to need to. So you can only build tiles next to a road or next to tiles of that same type or color. And if you block yourself in, then you have to buy a little tower to allow you to build off of it. And we got to the end, and I kind of was watching everybody, and they had blocked themselves in, and then everybody's fighting to buy the tower, and there's only one per round. So you can kind of get stuck if you don't plan ahead a little bit.
I was sitting here not even remembering who actually won.
It was Will.
Yeah, and then when she said, like, you could be a total idiot and still win on your first, I was like, oh, it was me. That's right. I remember winning this now that I think about it. They left me some extra tiles. I was able to get an extra goal right at the end. Yeah, it's a really interesting, very visually satisfying one, and it was a lot more approachable than I thought it was going to be. So I had a lot of fun playing World Wonders. Why don't we jump from here to a shout-out to our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by Chaosium Games. Their game, Horror on the Orient Express, just wrapped up their Kickstarter campaign, and congratulations to them because they have well funded. This is a massive big box game with an interesting experience. You will be using some deduction to figure out if the passengers on this train that is traveling at lightning speed is a cultist or not. So each of the passengers who are non-players in the game have an association with being a cultist or not. And you'll need to spend some time going and figuring out information about them. But you're also... the train is being attacked by monsters, and so somebody else is going to probably need to spend some time taking out the monsters before the hordes take over the entire train and it wrecks. So there's a lot of ways to lose. We've lost a lot. So it is not a simple game. There are tons of minis and components, and
a
full train. Yeah, there's a lot of upgraded things on the Kickstarter campaign. We have a playthrough if you would like to see the game in action, and that will be on our channel when this episode goes live, so you can see if we made it to the end of the tracks or not. And the campaign will be over by the time this goes live, but I'm sure late pledges will be available soon.
Let's jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
This episode we'll be talking about four games coming to crowdfunding platforms during the end of April 2024. Will, start us off.
Happy to do so. Boardcubator is bringing their sequel game to market. It's called Square One. If you had an opportunity to play or see Project L, which is a very interesting game, which I'll talk about in just a second, they're bringing a similarly styled game that's got totally different rules and different mechanics and things, but has a lot of those same fun components. So Project L came out, I don't even know, 4 or 5 years ago. And it's a game that has a bunch of super cool chiclet quality components. They look like Tetris pieces. And so you've got a bunch of different plastic or acrylic, I don't know what kind of material it is, Tetris shaped pieces, the very familiar, like the L shape and the T, and you've got some singles. And in that game, it is an engine building game where you're going to be laying these, you're going to be drafting the tiles and then slotting them into your dual layer cardboard base. And if you're able to finish a card, you get the bonus tile piece that's on it, and you get the points on it, and then you keep going. And it's a really elegant game because it's a very simple gameplay style, very fun, beautiful components. And it's one of those that we bust out at a lot of our game nights just because it's so attractive. It's like, hey, look at this cool game. You've never seen something like this before. The new game, Square One, features a lot of similar ideas. It has those same dual layer cardboard tiles that you're going to be slotting your pieces into, except in this game, instead of doing the L shape and the T shape and the Z shape and all the other shapes, all the tiles are just square, but printed on the tile are the different types of shapes. And so it's still an engine building game. It's still a set collection type of game where you're going to be drafting these pieces, putting them into your cards, building that engine, and growing your collection of tiles. But I don't want to say it looks simpler, but it looks simpler I'm very curious what the actual gameplay is on it. I haven't played it yet.
I have a feeling the gameplay is actually harder.
It doesn't look like it, but I'll be curious to see what it is like. The tiles have, like, you know, you're sticking two or three different squares onto your card, and it looks like you have some options. Like, you can either put a yellow tile or a blue tile, and then you have to put a red tile. And so it looks like a similar mechanic where you're going to be getting rewards every time you complete a card. I haven't played it. I'm intrigued. I enjoy Project L a lot, and I think this one has potential to be maybe even more mass markety than the other one. Like, just the appeal to it, I think, is going to be, I think it's going to be really approachable, and it looks cool on the table. So, I don't know. Check that one out from Board Cubator, coming to Kickstarter very soon. Square One.
I do have to say, Project L is one of my favorite games to gift to people.
It is fun to give
to
people.
May or may not play a lot of games, but the rules are simpler enough that they understand how to play pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah, it's easy to jump into. It's
and very, it looks great.
It's lots of fun. Sarah, why don't you go ahead and tell us what game you're looking at?
Coming April 22nd to Kickstarter is Earth Abundance. This is the first expansion for Earth from Inside Up Games. In this expansion, there will be a number of new things, including a new seed component. The seeds will allow you to exchange that token for a number of different resource options. So pretty much anything else in the game you can trade for. And there will be a new deck of cards that allow you to gain additional seeds. But the main thing you can do with the seed is you can spend it to dig through the discard pile to plant a card. And so if you've had to pass something up that was fantastic, like the game we played tonight, I should have gone through the discard to try and find the card that gave me points for my compost pile, because my compost pile was massive and I probably could have gained another, whatever the max is, I think it's 25 max points, but another 25 points would have been great. So that's the main new component. It does add a sixth player. There's a huge deck of cards, and there's a number of new scoring cards in the game. The new thing on the cards that are added to the deck is many of them allow other players to gain benefits every time you activate the card. So it's never, it adds player interaction, but it's always a benefit for other players. There's also a number of event cards. Those are the instant one-time use cards. And there's a number of those that allow the option for other players to join in and also take that action.
I didn't realize it while we were playing it, but it obviously makes sense that the next expansion is going to be like Witherin or something, where you play cards, but you're finally able to be mean to each other. I'm just predicting that now.
That'd be good.
Will's hopes coming. And dreams. That's, he wants
maybe
to
I'll
destroy my...
The blight.
Yes.
The blight. Will wants to destroy what I've built. But yeah. This expansion, you don't ever mess with anybody else's
ever
stuff.
Ever hurt anybody. Yeah.
You might be able to score or gain resources off of what your neighbor has in their tableau. Or you might be able to give everybody else a cube at the table.
I did have a crazy one that gave me soil every time, like, the red action was taken based on the number of wild cards my neighbors had. And Jonah had, like, four of them. I was nice. Like, you are the man. I was so rich.
Yep, so that is Earth Abundance coming to Kickstarter April 22nd.
Before we move on to the next one, though, that was the first time you had played Earth, right, Dan?
Correct, yes.
What were your thoughts?
I thought it was a lot of fun. I mean, it's a beautiful game just because you're looking at all these pretty plants. but yeah, just I would say it ended faster than I thought it would. I had all these plans on, like, okay, I've got everything in place now, and I just want to churn this out. And Ryan's like, I end the game. But no, it was a lot of fun. I would definitely play that again.
The speed of the game is actually one of my favorite things. The fact that we were able to play a six-player game with really complex tableaus in front of everybody,
yeah.
And we did it in an hour. I mean, it's a yeah. quick game because it's simultaneous play, and it's neat.
I think that's huge. If I sat there waiting for everyone to take their turn, because you do kind of have to think. I mean, Ryan was facing that because he had like 30 cards in his hand. He's like, what am I going to play? What am I doing here? But the fact that you get to do something every turn keeps it from being that 15 minutes around the table waiting for your turn to come.
Good stuff.
Yeah. There's no downtime at all, because even if you finish whatever action it was and you're waiting on everybody else, they're usually, hopefully you have cards in your hand and you're like, okay, what do I got to do next? Cause I do not know. And it's almost my turn and I need to figure out what my goals are.
Coming April 23rd from Off the Page Games is Core of Discovery. This is a game set in the world of Manifest Destiny, which is a comic apparently about, or maybe it's a graphic novel. I'm not sure. I'll have to clarify.
It's a good distinction.
But it's about the Lewis and Clark Core of Discovery and about how they explore the West and slay monsters.
What?
So it is a cooperative game. In it, there is a large grid map, and you are slowly uncovering tiles. And as you go, you're trying to find certain things. You'll have objectives each round for, like, story-based things where, you know, maybe it was raining or something and you have to deal with the consequences of that. So you need so much resources to mitigate the effects of the flash flood or something. But also in the process, you are trying to gain the resources you need to fight the monster when you find them. And as you are revealing these tiles, you discover something like a mountain or a stream or like a forest or something like that. And there are rules in the game for when you discover this specific type of thing, you know that, you know, a fort is always in a line with something, or all of the mountain spaces are contiguous. So if you find one, you know it's somehow connected to the others. I think it might change based on the map you're on, but so using the logic of this thing is always next to this thing or always in the row, or there's only so many of these on the map, you are trying to use that logic to deduce where certain things are and find the monsters, slay them, complete your objectives, and go through the chapters of this story. I think we found it a little difficult, but we were successful in the little preview scenario that they gave us when we saw it at one of the conventions. I personally enjoyed it. I don't think everybody in our group did. It wasn't the game for everybody, but I'd be interested in checking it out. And I think it is worth looking at. The illustrations, I think, are in the style of the comic book / graphic novel, and they look pretty nice. So,
Yeah, I got to play this one at Tantrum Con, actually. I think you and I played it together at, like, Gen Con, maybe, or something last year.
Yes, we got to try it at Gen Con.
And I got to play the latest version at Tantrum Con.
Oh, was it updated?
Yeah.
Oh.
Minor changes, but improvements over what it was. Even the board was, like, a different type of board than it was before, which was kind of cool.
Oh, cool.
And it is an interesting type of mechanic. It's a cooperative game. I don't know if you mentioned that. And I think it's the type of game that you could play solo really well. I think the one downside that I saw was that when you play it with someone who's smarter than you, I played it with Melissa. And so I'd be like, oh, okay, if there's a tree here, then this means, and 4 minutes later, I'd be like, I think I'm going to go here. And Melissa would be like, no, you're supposed to go over here. Oh, okay. Obviously. It is a logic puzzle for sure. And it's a neat experience to be able to reveal it. And like, if you have the right group of people, it would be a lot of fun to be able to solve it together. It's a pretty silly idea.
I liked that. I believe all of the characters have their own power.
I think that is correct.
And then you also can get items that give you an additional power of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
I did find when I played it, I was like, how I need to use this power, because like I don't know anything else about the game.
Right.
So I want to use this power. How do I get to use it? And I just felt like I wasn't using it as often as I wanted to. But it did come in handy. I forget what it was.
Yeah, and I think it was the type of thing where it's so obvious that everybody's like, Ryan, use your lasso now, or you know, whatever, and you're like, finally!
Yeah.
Excellent stuff.
Dan, what do you got?
All right, coming to Kickstarter on the 24th, we've got The Sixth Realm by Final Frontier. You are taking the role of explorers trying to really just make a name for yourself. You're going back to a land that has been covered in a toxic fog, essentially, for thousands of years. and the queen and the guilds are backing your exploration as you go into this land. So definitely a fantasy-based game. It is a pretty heavy Euro. It's a 4 out of 5 on BGG. But it's got engine building, action selection, and when just looking at it, I'm not comparing these two games, but just on a visual table space kind of thing and the amount of actions and stuff that you have, it reminds me a little bit of like an Ezra Nehemiah. You've got a pretty in-depth personal board. You've got a big board in the middle of the table with you can go over here and do this, or you can go over here and do this, and that impacts this other spot.
Is and, this from Final Frontier?
Yeah, Final Frontier.
Yes.
Yes. It looks really good. But definitely complex. It's one of those things where different actions are set for the round, but you can pay more resources to make the action better or just kind of bow out and go for a different action in itself. So lots going on there. It looks really good.
I think it's built in the same world as a number of the other games that have come from them. So they have like Merchant's Cove and I don't know the name of the other ones are. But I think two or three of them are in that same fantasy storyline that they've been working out. So I think this is like I'm so rusty. I need Kevin to remind me of these things. I believe like the Sixth Realm has been hinted at in their like previous games because they've talked about the other five realms and things like that. And so I think this is not like a sequel necessarily, but like it's part of that same storyline with all new mechanics and stuff. So yeah, I'll be curious to check that one out myself.
Yeah, it looks really good. In fact, it does say, maybe this ties in with what you're saying, a dwarven merchant ship sailing to Merchant's Cove.
Mm-hmm.
Notice.
There it is.
Yeah, so definitely ties in, but looks really good, really neat.
Who are the designers on that? Is Johnny Pack one of the designers? Is that
so we've got Matthew Dunstan, Seth Jaffe, and Drake Villarreal.
Oh, maybe not. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that is, again, coming on April 24th to Kickstarter, The Sixth Realm by Final Frontier.
I need to do my research on it. All right, so let's get into a little bit of a topic for this episode. Dan was asking a great question earlier this afternoon while we were playing Earth, and the question basically, maybe I should let you state it.
Well, yeah, so I'm standing in front of my board game collection, and just looking at what's there, and thinking about, okay, if I have to cull something, what's it going to be? And I just started thinking, like, there are some good games on the shelf that I have played, and that's the qualification. It can't be something in shrink or something that's just been there forever.
It's not shelf of shame, necessarily.
Right. So you've played the game, but you haven't played it for a really long time. So for me, for example, I would put Zulkin in this and Orleans, both really good games. Like, they're solid games, but I've kind of hit this point where I played them once, I don't know how long, years ago, really liked it, got the game, and started to try and like remind myself of how to play it. And then my wife will say, hey, let's play a game, or so-and-so's coming over, let's play a game. But it's going to be like half an hour of me figuring out how to play it again.
Rereading
so it just,
all the rules.
Yeah, it stays there. What about you, Will?
It's a struggle. The struggle is real, especially when you've got, so I have two Calyxes full of games, and cull isn't really right the word. We do a lot of donations. We do a lot of things where we give it to the Tantrum Con library. And so there are my shelves. I try to keep the games that I do plan to play, not just collect or look good. However, that being said, there are plenty of games that I haven't actually played in several years. One of the ones that I have had for a long time is the game Keltis from Cosmos. It's a Reiner Knizia game, and it's this simple game. You've got nice little stones in the game that you're moving up and down this like round track, and it's fun.
It's a Spill the Yars.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good game. I probably haven't played it since 2008.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's been a long time. I don't want to get rid of it because it's a good game. But and it's not. It's and unlike the ones that you were saying, where I'd have to like bust out the rules and reread for a half hour, it wouldn't take me that long to polish it off, but it's just the type of game that I'm like, it's not shiny and sparkly like some of the new ones. It's not like going to make you laugh and whatever. It's fun. It's a good game, but I don't know when the next time I'm going to actually get it to the table is.
I know nothing about that game, but I have seen it there on that shelf for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And every time I'm like, huh, I wonder what that's about. Like, just, I don't know. It looks attractive. It looks cool.
Dan and me are going to play this game.
Yeah.
That's really what's going to happen as a result of this episode. Let's pick the two games we want to play.
Okay.
Yes.
This
My
month.
Game, Battlestar Galactica.
There we go. Ooh.
Favorite
All right.
game that I never get to play.
And it's been
I was
years.
So jealous that Steph Hodges busted it out as an event at Tantrum Con.
Oh, really?
And they had this elaborate event. And it was great. And I was playing a game that I was teaching on the next table. And I just kept looking over like, I wanted to play this game. Why didn't I pick Battlestar Galactica? She had expansions. It was like a full, massive game topper, full of pieces. Everybody was having a good time. Everybody was yelling at each other. You're the Cylon. No, no, I'm not. You're going to send me to the brig. Like, it was great. And I was a little jealous that I didn't get to play. It's probably been 7 years since I played Battlestar Galactica.
Probably. When was the show on HBO or TV or sci-fi, whatever it was on? We watched the show.
Yes.
What a great show. And then played the game. Mm-hmm. What a great game. And then that was it.
We played several times.
We did when we first got it. Did we play it with my family? I feel like we played it at my parents' house, which is
no, we did
weird.
Not. We did not. That
like
sounds
a
like a dream.
I could have dreams.
We played with Ryan, I think,
yeah,
several times.
I want to say I gave you that copy or I gave you an expansion or something.
This Thanks, copy man. I found at a garage sale. Oh. For $10 in shrink in Columbus, Ohio.
And then we opened it, even though it was limited.
I know I bought some sort of Battlestar Galactica thing, and
some,
I gave it to you. And maybe it was like, oh, we
are mini pieces.
It.
No, I think you did. I think, is there like expansion pieces in it?
I think there we might
know.
Have
it. It's been a while.
So do you remember when you opened that? Because I do.
I
you
do, too.
Yeah.
I remember
yeah.
when we opened it.
I do
it was
not.
When we filmed our commercial for...
It was like what over? It was the one with
our
ben
analysis
with over,
paralysis
yeah, overthinkison
drug
and,
commercial.
Yeah.
Wow! Yep. Oh, that's a blast from the past.
Yeah,
we opened it to show off during that video.
Yeah,
or was
yeah
it?
Just to show analysis paralysis, and it was an option. And we all stood there like, "Are we really going to open this just for this?"
So way back when we made an April yeah. Fool's Day video of.
I don't remember what the medicine was called, but it was
a
prescription drug to help solve your AP.
Yes, that would cure your AP in the middle of a game.
That was a great video. You should go check it out.
Yes.
You should, because it's still on YouTube, and it was good quality video. Good job, Ben.
It was. And unfortunately, opened
I mean, we had fun,
drink.
Apparently.
We did. We have played it once since this copy once. That's it.
Okay, Ryan.
But I played it other copies several times.
What's
on your shelf, Ryan?
So when you walk into the room where my computer is, there is an entertainment center in the far corner. There is nothing in that entertainment center but just tubs of BattleTech.
Yes.
I did know this was the answer.
And I'm sad to say that I don't know that I've actually played a full game with anybody. Like I have started games, but...
You had
it was
tubs
always with people,
and tubs of BattleTech.
It was always with people that weren't as interested in it as
how,
I was.
If you stacked all the tubs on top of each other, how tall?
There's an entertainment center. Yeah, it's a lot.
I remember moving them out of your old apartment, actually, into your new house.
Yeah.
There are a lot of them.
I've gotten more since then.
No, awesome. Way to go.
Did you get to play any events at like Origins or Gen Con or anything?
No,
I felt like you signed
done.
Up for, or maybe that was something
was
else.
Jeremiah
no, I did some RPG stuff that was BattleTech adjacent. But
okay,
I've never
then maybe that's what I was thinking.
How many like people could you like if we dedicated Tantrum House Game Day, come play with Ryan? He's bringing all 27 tubs.
Oh, that would be a nightmare.
Would it?
Yeah, but I bet you could play like 30 or 40 people with like a full army. Sure. Yeah.
That doesn't sound fun.
Email Ryan at tantrumhouse.com.
Yeah, I need to just get rid of this stuff. It's just not happening. I was kind of hoping like my girls would grow up and they'd just be
magically
nerdier
enamored.
Than they ought to be. But no, they're turning out pretty normal, unfortunately.
I feel like as soon as they stop eating all of your pieces, you should just have a giant display case that shows it all off. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then what happens is what happened to Mondo Davis. One of his kids took a Sharpie to half the games on his shelf.
I didn't think he had any kids. Oh. Yeah.
So is this one of those games that has any like collector value, or it's...
Oh, sure. Like there's some resale value to some of it.
But... My brother played a Met game back in like late 80s, early 90s. Would this have been around then, or was this a different...
Oh, yeah. It's been around for a while. There's been different rule sets, but you can still use the miniatures for different versions. Definitely Battletech. There's the whole Star Wars Imperial Assault, which is another one versus many, kind of like Attack on Titan. Yeah. But I'm too good at that one, apparently, and Katie won't play it with me. And then one that also came to mind that I actually think this is a great game is Hegemony. When we had people over this weekend, they actually said, hey, I'm really interested in playing Hegemony. I was like, are you interested in learning a two-hour game that then interfaces with three other two-hour games that all play at the same time? Because that's what Hegemony is.
It's a great game. It's hard to get to the table.
Every player, what they're doing is so asymmetrical from what everybody else is doing. Each person has their own rule book. And then, like, they have...
And they're not small rule books.
They have some cheat sheets for what's happening on the other people's teams at play games. On their turns, and it's still just hard to wrap your mind around. Wait, what is happening right now? But it's a good game once you get it all down.
That was the first time that I kind of wished I took an economics class in college.
Oh yeah.
And not just high school.
There's a whole booklet.
Because I was like, I think if I understood economics a little bit better, I might win this game.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, is political economics. So.
There's so many other games that are on my shelf that I wish I had more time to play. Maybe they haven't been years since I've played them, but even some of the newer games that are on my shelf, like Moonrakers, I played the snot out of that when we first got it, played all the different expansions, played it through a bunch of different times. It's probably been a year or two since it's been on the table, and there's just, there's not enough time in the days for all the games that I want to play. One of my favorites is Coal Baron, which I love playing. I try to get it to the table at least once a year. Feel like if I'm going to call it one of my favorite games, I have to keep playing it.
Yeah.
I think it's been 5 since we've played it.
No, I just played it last year with Jonah because he hadn't played it. So I had to introduce him to it. Dan, have you played Coal Baron?
Yeah, we played it in Tennessee.
I remember that, actually.
Yeah.
That we did the Tennessee event so that we could play the games that I want to play. Next time, I'm going to have to play the Infinity War, Marvel Avengers Infinity War game from, I don't know who's the designer on that.
Oh, it's from Andrew Wolfe.
Yeah, and they made several games in that line, but that one is still my favorite one, the Avengers one, which my kids, we played every day for like a week, it seemed like, and then it's been several years since I played that one as well. And I'm looking at my shelf right now, and I'm going, oh, it's been a year since I played that one, 2 years since I played that one. There are a lot of games that make it to the table semi-regularly, though, which is cool. Good job for those games. Do you want to talk for 30 seconds before we wrap up this episode about your Speed Calico adventure?
Yes. So Calico is a game that I try and bust out once in a while. More than we end up playing a lot of new-to-us games all the time because we're making content.
While they're new and then never touching them again.
But Calico, I try to get to the table more than that. I really love the game. It's a hard puzzle. Some people get frustrated and it's not fun for them. It's absolute fun for me. And Melissa and I learned a new version of Calico. Ilya and Tyler, who have Covre game channel, they introduced us to play it as a speed game. So everybody sets a stopwatch on their phone and you play like chess, like start the timer, take your turn, stop the timer, next person, start the timer for the next person. And if you go over 2.5 minutes of total play for the whole game for your time, you end up start taking point penalties. And I played with Katie and Melissa and Kevin, and Melissa had almost double the time that Kevin did. and Kevin ended up winning.
Won?
Kevin won.
Crazy thing.
He got some good tiles that he was able to fit together well. That's my
I think you could do that with a lot of games.
The other one that I wanted to try, and we didn't do it at the Atom event a few weeks back now, was to play the new Fit to Print, also from Flat Out Games, but do it as a relay race. So you play on a team, and normally it's a real-time game where you're flipping over tiles in the center and selecting some that you're going to place on your desk, and whatever you've placed on your desk, you have to arrange as a newspaper page. So there's articles and ads, and there's all these adjacency rules, and above the fold, you know, you want the better story. So there's all of that, but they turned it into, on the other side of the room is going to be all the tiles, and one person is going to run back and forth getting the tiles that the other player wants, and they sit there and arrange everything. Board I really wanted to try it, but we didn't get a chance.
That actually
to
sounds
play.
Like a lot of fun.
Right, it sounds
does.
Like a great TantrumCon yeah, event.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Look for that, TantrumCon 2025. Excellent. Thank you guys so much for tuning in for another fantastic and fun episode. Be sure to check out some of our live playthrough videos on YouTube. We're doing those on Thursday nights. We got our Saturday morning board game on the first Saturday of every month. If you're in Greenville, come hang out with us for the last Monday of every month when we do our community game nights. And then be on the lookout. We'll have news about TantrumCon hopefully coming soon. You haven't missed it yet, but the start of next year, January, February, we'll be setting dates and announcing those soon. So we'll hopefully see you there. All right.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.